The Chris Perillo Show is brought to you by Microsoft Windows Media. Download Windows Media Player 10 at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.
We're doing something different tonight on the Chris Perillo Show. Of course, you can call in our regular landline, 888-PERILLO, 888-747-4556. You got to know how to spell my last name in order to participate. And we're taking calls now through Skype, through Google Talk, the new application. I suppose we'll also take it through Project Gizmo if you even have an account on that. I was trying to get Gizmo to run here, and it just kept crashing on me. Over and over again. It seems to be stable now. I don't know if someone's going to try calling in.
It's probably all those apps you had open.
I've got all these apps, and this is one of my frustrations this week. It's an old one. It's the fact that none of these IM clients are all in one. Yes, I know about Trillion. Yes, I know about Game. I know all this stuff. I'll put my rant on hold just for a second. The username's G Flores.
Hi, Chris.
So what does that stand for?
It's Gabriel, actually.
Oh, Gabriel. Okay. I was going to guess a Greg, but Gabriel's much nicer than Greg. Not that I have anything against anybody named Greg.
Okay.
So what do you think of... you have a question? I was going to ask you a question, but I guess we can do it the other way around.
Ask me.
Well, I was going to ask...
You can ask me.
What you thought of the Google Talk product.
It reminded me a lot about the first versions of ICQ, the simplest thing, and that sort of Google feeling.
Yeah.
I even read that you put the Google Talk is retarded. How's that?
Well, I put that in my IM client because it's not doing anything new. My frustration, if you're going to come out with something, and I understand it's Jabber, open source, blah, 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 but until you can get everybody to get on the same freaking page, it's just a nightmare, literally. This is what I have running right now in the background. I've got Skype. I've got Project Gizmo. I've got MSN. I've got Yahoo. I've got Google Talk. And I know I could use Trillion. Unfortunately, I'm not using Trillion 3.0 because I think it's still a little buggy and slow, and I don't like any of the default skins.
I don't like it either.
I'm still using Trillion 2.0, and the Jabber interface, it keeps crashing on me. So I've asked those guys, and they didn't really get back to me, but I asked them if they're going to update their old Jabber interface for Trillion 2.0 users, and they don't have an answer for me yet. So my biggest frustration is that they really weren't doing anything new. And quite honestly, I can now. Where are you calling from, Gabriel?
Mexico, actually.
Okay, Mexico. All right.
In Baja.
Wow. I'm getting a little bit of distortion from your voice, but you know what? If I were to have a call with you on this program versus a call on Skype or Gizmo or MSN or Yahoo or AOL, no one's going to be able to tell the difference. They all sound the same. The same freaking thing. And instead of having 15 programs running in your system tray, which is just absolute Just Gabriel, think with me for a second. Imagine if you had to have 15 email programs running at the same time in order to communicate with everybody. Would you do it?
Oh, that's insane.
Exactly.
That's insane.
Why would these same brands expect us to do the same thing with instant mess? You're telling me your emoticon is any better than the other person's? I don't think so. Perfect. I don't buy that. Google did a couple things right. They did make it elegant, but they almost made it too simple. And they also...
The simplest thing.
Yes. And I agree with you on that point. I was one of the first ICQ users as well with a... I think my UIN is 144832. So I'm way far down in the six digits.
I'm 8 digits.
That's pretty good. That's respectable. you caught on, you know, right as soon as it was, you know, taking off. No, but I think Google also made it without any advertising, which was nice, and Yahoo beat them to it. Yahoo's got, as far as all the major brand clients, I think Yahoo is the one to beat at this point. I really believe that. They have the best IM client, all-around IM client, in terms of integration with their service and whatnot, but that's the thing that makes me mad, is that each one of these...
Well, you know...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
With the Yahoo Messenger, I have always liked the best the Yahoo Messenger interface and services and all that stuff. But, you know, people use what they already have. So if you have Windows, you have to use the MSN Messenger.
Yeah.
It's already there.
But
style and everything. So
it makes me even more mad that they're not playing along. It makes me mad. It's, well, okay, you know, and I understand right now, you've got two different browsers, like Firefox and you got Internet Explorer. But for the most part, most of the pages render the same way. So it's not like we're looking at a different World Wide Web, but it is that way when it comes to IM clients. It's seriously, it's past the point of insanity to the point of just being absolutely irresponsible. And I think if Google, and they've got the whole AIM, Jabber integration thing going on for iChat users, but I don't use OS 10. You know, I'm on Windows for the most part. So I need something that is just going to work. Game, by the way, has a horrible UI. Trillion is at least skinnable. It's not fantastic, but it works. The problem is that it only works with now just a handful of them. It doesn't work with Skype. It doesn't truly work with Jabber, at least the older versions that they haven't updated the plugins for. It doesn't work with Project Gizmo. So all of these IM clients coming out trying to get my attention is just it's wrong, and it's absolutely rude for anybody to do this. And that's why I'm more upset with Google than I'm happy with them, despite their brand,
What do you want everybody to do? We
get along.
I'm sorry to say, you have to get your Gtalk installed. You have to get your Yahoo or Trailing or whatever. But you have to be connected with everyone.
That's why I like Jabber or the other. See that honestly, that should be the approach. The approach should be a Trillion type of product. That's the approach. Mm-hmm. You know, I want Yahoo to make something that interoperates with everything. And if Yahoo does better than MSN, then I'll use Yahoo. If MSN does better than Yahoo, I'll use MSN. I don't care about the freaking brands. Seriously, emoticons on one platform don't look any different than the emoticons on another platform. And that's seriously, there's no value add other than getting to your start page quicker. Or here's the thing, MSN shoved their brand down my throat, and that really makes me mad. It really makes me mad. I don't mind the MSN properties, but like the tabs, they're kind of cool. But the problem is that it's either all or nothing with MSN. They really screwed up their latest version of Messenger. You know, I truly believe that.
The thing that they could do that would actually help differentiation would be, at this point, it's not the protocol and keeping this walled garden approach. Instead, differentiate based on trying to get everybody to use your products and services, but make them all work with everybody else's. So, for instance, MSN could interoperate with Yahoo and AIM, but their like customer retention plan is make MSN Messenger work really, really well with Spaces, so that you want to use MSN Messenger if you're a Spaces user.
It's not getting to the point, because I cannot operate with MSN if I'm using Yahoo Messenger. And that should be primary. The brand should be secondary.
Basic. For the brand to have a reason to exist, they have to have some sort of motivation to try to get the user's attention. Yep. So what I'm saying is, make the IM process seamless across all platforms, and
you know,
differentiate
Jake,
based on add-on services.
I've got this, and you're gonna Gabriel, you'll be the first to hear this, and then I'm probably gonna move to the next caller here. They're coming. Believe me, they're streaming in right now, which surprises the hell out of me. Normally, you know, this is our first time we've opened it up. We're going to do this every week. What I'm going to do, I think, for the next Gnome Dex is I'm going to find the people responsible for the IM products of Yahoo, MSN, AOL, Google, and bring them all up on stage and say, look, you babies, get your freaking act together, because I'm sick and tired of this.
They'll chicken out.
The onus is on them, because this has gone way too far. And I'm serious. I'm mad. Why should I have to run 13 programs just to talk to 13 of my friends? It's rude. It's absolutely rude.
You just need less friends.
Yeah, I just need less coffee, I think. Gabriel, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. I think we've got Ray Selinsky, the guy who is the creator of iPodder X, who's on Skype now, and we're going to try to get him.
So he didn't make an IM client.
If he tells me he's developed one, iPodder X, the new version, outstanding.
Hello?
Ray?
Yeah.
All right, so we're connected with you on Skype, and the audio quality, I can't hear you.
You can't hear me?
Oh, now I can, okay.
Yeah, now we can hear him.
Okay, good.
I said the audio quality was great, I couldn't hear a pin drop, but you weren't talking, so that's okay.
Yeah, that does it every time.
So you just released the new version of iPodder X. How's that going?
It's going excellent, actually. We released it as a public beta, and the number of issues coming back are fairly minimal and easy for us to fix. So
I have a question for you before you and Chris get into this. Have you fixed the issue that your product does not identify as a browser type?
I believe so. I didn't notice of any issue with not identifying it as a browser type.
Jake will tell you if it hasn't been fixed.
In our server logs, our server logs would indicate that there are thousands upon thousands of unknown browser types, and I have yet to show a single iPod or X, despite the fact that I have myself used iPod or X to hit our server, which would lead me to believe that at least some versions are still registering as unknown.
Really, really early versions, like 1.0, like on the Mac platform, when it made its request for the RSS, would say that's like a Python aggregator or something like that, and that's been fixed. It definitely identifies itself as iPod or X.
Okay.
So what other new features have you added to this new version?
Well, for the Windows version, we're now syncing with Windows Media Player,
woo-hoo!
Which is great.
Yeah.
And then we're trying to keep feature parity with what we have on the Mac, which was that's a big undertaking on its own because we've added tons and tons of different features there. So the speech-to-text, the text-to-speech feature that we had on the Mac, we had to duplicate on Windows, which was real fun to do. We got that going, as well as in our latest version, we have new tag subscriptions and new search subscriptions. So you can say on TechnoRatty you want to see everything that mentions Chris Perillo. So you can just kind of easily say service provider, TechnoRatty, tag is Perillo, and hit add, and it auto-creates the feed for you. So you don't need to dig around.
Great. Well, and I really, when I said that it's great for power users and novices at the same time, I was being serious, Ray. I really believe you one-upped iTunes, which is, I can't say too much of a challenge. not that, you know, iTunes is horrible by any stretch, but there are definitely certain things about iTunes that are annoying. The convenience of iTunes kind of makes up for all of its shortcomings. But I think as far as third-party, quote-unquote, third-party podcasting clients are concerned, I think iPod or X is one of those that is definitely leading the way on largely because it is cross-platform and it's not just all about the iPod. The fact that you open it up to the whole Windows Media platform speaks volumes as to your whole mindset in developing this, right?
Yeah, and that was part of what took a lot of the time bringing it over to the Windows platform. It is on the Mac we gave it a very Macintosh looking feel. When we brought it over to Windows, we want to kind of keep everything similar, but we also wanted to make sure that it looked and felt like a Windows application as well. So we spent a lot of time trying to balance the two. Keep the look and feel of the product, but also make it on Windows, and that took a lot of time in order to kind of get that balance right. I hope we did it, but I don't know.
You say we. You're not the only one who's working on this project.
I'm not the only one. August Trometer, who helped create iPod or X with me on the Mac side, he came up with the original graphical interface. It was the first podcasting client with a graphical interface. And then Sean Jackson we brought on board to help us get the Windows version up and running.
It's surprising. Most people wouldn't assume that it would take more than one person. But any good project usually expands beyond the abilities of just an individual.
Yeah, definitely. Well, August knows Coco really well, or he learned Coco really well. The back end to iPod or X is written in Python, which is my forte. And the Windows version is written in .NET in order to make sure that it had that Windows look and feel. So we need to bring on a excellent .NET programmer, and which was Sean.
It's working very well. For the people that were frustrated with iTunes, I've already started steering him towards iPod or X.
Thank you.
It's no problem. Wait, hang on. Jake, you're mute.
Before we take off, one other question I have for you. What's the likelihood of you guys supporting the Drizzle technology that's inherently built into Windows XP and will be built into Windows Vista?
We are looking into it. We don't have any immediate plans, but we are definitely looking into it and making sure that we support what people want. And I can see that as something that people want.
That would be a really awesome thing to have, because that way the stuff's downloading in the background and it doesn't really matter if it's BitTorrented or not. It's going to spread the load for everybody, because it's not just continually downloading on a repeating cycle of once an hour or once every 5 hours or once a day or whatever.
Right. One of the biggest problems with BitTorrent is its scaling capabilities, right? So when you only have two or three people that have the full file, it's really, really slow. It only works really well if a lot of people are downloading that file. I'm hoping that Microsoft's technology solves that problem where it's maybe not as fast, but it's not like a death crawl.
Well, the Drizzle is actually the same stuff that they use to deliver like service packs and that through automatic update. So it obviously scales. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you very much.
All right. Bye. Yeah, take care. Hang on. Mark?
Oh, my God. Is this the real Chris Perillo?
It's Mark Orchant. So we've got are you going to be around?
Yes.
All right, because we've got a preset interview at like what, 7:30?
Yep.
Unless you want to bang something out in the next 4 minutes.
Whatever you prefer, my friend. I am at your service.
Talk faster.
Talk faster? Should I talk like you after you've had one of those triple foamy latte frothy things
I only stick with coffee. Thank you very much. And I'm hopped up on a small cup of Pete's because we were over on that side of town. I couldn't help myself. So what
Ooh,
do you
yum.
What do you
Ooh,
think about this new Google Talk on the tablet?
I'm liking it mostly because of its lightweight, not because it doesn't have a bunch of the crud that I really despise about just about every instant messaging client, the kind of stuff that's always led me to use something like Game, because at least it doesn't have freaking ads popping up all over the place. Yep. I don't want to listen to the radio in an instant messaging client. You know what? I don't want to get stock reports in an instant messaging client. I want to chat in an instant messaging client. Maybe I want to transfer a file. But, you know, that's what I want to do.
And for everybody who doesn't know Mark is, what do you write, the unofficial Microsoft weblog over at Weblogs Inc. and the tablet.
And the tablet PCs weblog, right? And the Office weblog.
And you have the podcast.
The tablet PC show. Oh,
that's right. Or the show,
real,
I'm sorry.
And I have a real job, too.
Yeah, so when do you have time for that real job?
Actually, you know, that's an interesting question, because what you have to do is you have to build like a real Chinese wall between what you do during the day and then all this fun stuff. Now, one day, I aspire to be like my role model, Chris, and be able to just do fun stuff all the time.
Oh, speaking of, I'll have to remember to IM you, but I got to show you something that I've been working on over the past week. You're going to love it.
Cool.
Seriously, you will love it.
With that kind of a build-up, I'm just so ready.
Yeah, you should be. You should be giddy with anticipation.
I am. Hey, I'm sorry I missed you when I was up there last, but I'll be back. Looks like the second week in October.
Right.
Jeremy and I'll be back, so hoping to hook up next time we're up your way.
It seems like I've been traveling just a lot this year, and hopefully I'll be in town.
Yeah, so pretty much it seems like the only place I'm traveling these days is to Redmond. So
this is 2-2, dude. Redmond is calling you. It's Mecca. Do you understand? It's the city is talking to you. It's saying, come to me.
And I do, on a regular basis.
No,
but you know what? The Bay Area used to be my Mecca, and I'd go there all the time. I'd go there 5, 6, 7, 8 times a year, and it was lovely.
Yeah, but the Bay Area smells like urine. I mean, nothing against the Bay Area, but it does. It's got that whole you know what I'm talking about too, dude.
I do, but see, when I was going there all the time, it was during the dot-bomb days, and so it smelled like money.
Oh, money. Oh, hang on. I can't.
Wait. We can't keep taking these calls. We need to take a call over here.
Oh, we got to take a call. Okay, Mark, I got to go now.
Hey, go for it. Have fun. If you want to, ring me back. I'm here.
All right. We'll do. Thanks, Mark.
Good Ponzi, my love. Bye.
We'll do. Oops. Okay, so I got to hang that up. I'm going to mute this.
I've already muted you over there, too.
Oh, okay.
So.
Thanks. So we're going to put the VoIP calls on hold, literally, for just a second, and flip over to our phone guest, who I believe we're going to be talking to for the next half hour. And I don't really know an easy way to introduce these guys. I found out about their product, Inbox 360, a couple of weeks ago. You know me, I'm all about ego, and so I subscribed to my key term, Perillo, on Feedster and PubSub and Technorati. And an entry popped up saying, we're going to be on the Chris Perillo show. And I looked at this and I read it and I'm like, who who are these people? I'm like, I didn't set it up. I sent it to Jake. I'm like, Jake, who are these people? He's like, I don't know there. Well, it turns out it's true. I mean, they kind of predicted the future. They were going to be on the Chris Perillo show. And the easiest way to describe what they do is if you've ever gotten an email from Hooters, it's probably from these guys. So if you've ever wanted to get an email from Hooters, you got to talk to these guys. You know, they get great hamburgers. You know, despite what you think, if you've never been to a Hooters, just and if you're offended by that stuff, walk in with a blindfold or have someone bring you a hamburger. I'm not saying to support the chain or anything. Some of the best burgers in the world. Seriously.
I've never had a Hooters burger.
Really?
But that's not really what they do. They don't do Hooters burgers. Well, so we should probably talk to Joe.
Right, okay. No, I mean, the Inbox 360 doesn't do Hooters stuff. They do some marketing stuff, and this is one of the companies that they do marketing stuff for. So who do we have? Do we have two people or just one? One of them.
I believe Joe is the only one on the line, correct?
Joe?
Are you there, Joe?
Unless he's on mute. He's probably talking right now, and we can't hear him.
Aha, uh-huh, now we have him. Joe.
Yeah, hello.
Hey, there
Sorry
you are.
About that.
Hi, guys. So, yeah, this is Joe Morrow. We do have two people. I have Trevor O'Connor, who's one of my head developers, on the other line.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, Trevor.
Well, yes, we do have we do work for Hooters restaurants, and yeah, they do got great cheeseburgers.
See, you know, I'm not the only one who says that. Then,
but you know, I think I remember the cheeseburger. I'm not sure.
So you're basically your company, Inbox 360, helps companies hone their message online, specifically through email and RSS.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we saw that happening a little while back, and we said, wait a minute, this makes too much sense. We should probably get into that business. But, yeah, we work with a lot of small to mid-sized companies nationwide, helping them build a list of their clients and prospects and customers and all that kind of stuff. And then we send out newsletters for them, totally permission-based. We handle everything for them. So, you know, we saw a long time ago that handing a merchant all the power of sending out email by themselves creates a lot of problems. So we decided just to make a full solution and price it right and get out there and go to Main Street America, and it's working great. And that's kind of our business model.
So, Joe, your official role with the company?
Official role? I'm president and actually founder of the company, but my partner Harry Wall and I work very close together, you know, kind of directing everything where it's got to go. But I got a great technology team that kind of backs me up. And so I walk in and say, hey, guys, can we do this? and then they look at me and said, are you nuts?
But, you know, those are the questions you should be asking. And those are the answers you should be getting, because then you know you're on the right track. If someone thinks you're nuts for saying it, you're doing the right thing.
Exactly. So, you know, the crazier they look at me, the more I know I'm on the right path.
So you've been using email as a delivery vehicle, and now you've started to walk into RSS, but you're not necessarily beating the subscribers over the head with it.
No, I think it's, you know, first and foremost, my partners and I, you know, this is our second successful company, and we found out a long time ago that you just got to go at the pace that the public's going to, you know, absorb. And but we want to be there and have it tweaked in when as it grows and grows and grows. I mean, a few years back, people were looking at us crazy when we're saying, "Yeah, let's send your customers email." And now, you know, now everybody's saying, "You know, they can't wait to get this in place." And so, you know, the RSS thing just seems just too logical to you know, let go by.
You said this is your second company. What was the first one?
Our first one was a cable advertising company.
Okay.
We sold that in 96, but we dealt pretty much conceptually the same thing was going on there, which was selling advertising to small to mid-sized merchants. And that's kind of what we built this one on, the same concept. We tried to make it real easy for the merchant.
Am I mistaken in knowing that you were also semi-responsible for Channel One?
The name of the company was Cable One.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Channel One we're familiar with, but no.
Okay, so it was Cable One. Was
Cable
the name
One,
of the company.
Yeah. We were nationwide, and we were bought by Cox Communications at some point. Yeah.
Wow. And now you're going full bore into the internet.
Yeah, and loving it because
oh, yeah.
it's twice the speed. It's great.
Where are you located?
We're located in Williamsport, PA. If you go on to ESPN right now, you'll see the Little League World Series.
Okay.
I can look at the stadium probably outside my office here. So.
Oh, yeah? I'll have to send you a link, too, and I have to – it's uploaded, but I'm afraid of making it public. Every year in Seattle, they have this thing called Seafair, where the Blue Angels come and they fly in.
Cool.
And we live on Lake Washington, and the Blue Angels flew over the – oh, it's just even the video, even though you weren't here, you can feel it, like the rumble and the thunder. It's amazing stuff. Now, Hooters isn't your only client. I don't mean to pick on that, but of course,
no.
It gets everybody's attention.
Well, that was the one. That was the first. I got that account. I got to tell you,
this has got to be an interesting story here.
It is an interesting story. It was funny. I was eating at a restaurant in State College, Penn State, where Penn State is, and the waitress asked me, "Would we like to join their E Club?" And I said, "And this was a while back." I said, "Man, this guy, they've got it together. They're doing this." So I asked about it, and they gave me the owner's name. He owned, a couple stores. So I called him on the way home, and he said, "What are you doing right now?" And I turned the car around, went to his house.
Whoa.
And the rest is history. And then we just started getting in other Hooters all over. So it was kind of cool.
And it began with that?
Well, the Hooters account began with that, yeah.
Okay. So who else do you have in your cache?
Well, we're working with a ton of Harley-Davidson dealerships, BMW. We're working with a Fortune 100 drug company, which we do about 20 million emails a month for them, which is quite a job. I mean, we got a couple of full-time guys just working on that. But and we work with, AAA Travel and, just a lot of great customers. But the whole idea behind this is making sure everybody does it right, because there's so many people out there that do it wrong. And what we're hoping is because we do it right, we're making, the hosting company's jobs a lot easier and webmasters and things like that they don't have to deal with, getting blocks and stuff like that.
Now, what if my budget is substantially smaller than a Fortune 100 company? Do you still have room for me?
Oh my gosh, that's our business model.
Oh.
We started the company with the big guys, but quite frankly, I just don't I think our forte is the small to mid-sized merchant. They're predicting 50% of all merchants out there are going to do some sort of email marketing within the next couple of years, and so it costs very little to get on to use our program.
When you
literally
say that though,
an email.
Can you give me a dollar amount? I mean, in terms of a ballpark.
Well, I'm sorry, Chris. If you were to send out 2,500 direct mail pieces, it would probably cost a merchant upwards of around $1,000 or so easily.
Wow.
With us, it's under $200. It's like $198 to send the same 2,500 out, and we do the entire job. We do everything. We create it. We deliver it. We analyze it. We do everything for them.
You design it for them, then?
Oh yeah, that's one of our strong points.
Does everyone get a Hooters image in the newsletter? I'm kidding. I'm sorry, Joe. I'll drop the Hooters thing.
No, Joe,
you got to understand. I mean, everybody who's listening to the show is a geek, So you got to pander to them,
Hey, Chris, I'm with you. And to answer your question, yes, there are two invitations very close. If you look very close on every one of our emails.
Oh boy,
it's all right. Boy. That's for the guys that have Braille, screens.
So now, even for smaller businesses, you're obviously producing this stuff, and that for $200 for design and delivery, that's pretty substantial.
Yeah.
How do you sell anybody on the idea of RSS, or do you even sell that to them at all?
It's a slow process, and we recognize it's a slow process. But what we're doing, we're keeping ourselves aligned with our business model, which works, which means we're not asking them to become experts. They're hiring us to be the experts. So therefore, we do not want to dish them out more than they can absorb. And what I mean by that is this. We're developing a soup-to-nuts RSS program. We are in development right now of a private label reader. So whenever they buy our product, they get their all their recipients can download their own reader. Let's say if it's someone's XYZ Harley Davidson shop, when they receive an email from us, there'll be a little RSS button that says, get our RSS feed. When they click on that, they can download their RSS reader, which will say XYZ Harley Davidson at the top.
What about like a Confabulator or an OS X desktop widget? Have you thought about going down that route?
Okay, now I'm going to have to refer that one over to Trevor.
Okay, hey, Trevor.
Yeah, actually, well, the reader you're speaking of, it is a desktop application. It's not a widget per se.
It's a desktop app.
It's a desktop app, and it's a Flash front end.
Okay.
But yeah, it's not a widget.
So it'll work pretty much the same way.
Exactly, yeah. It'll work the same way, and we're exploring the idea of just having a simple RSS reader right online. So you know, there's many people out there who don't want to download the standalone apps.
Oh, certainly.
So we'll definitely go the online route as well.
No, that's a good thing. So now, Trevor, now we've kind of talked to Joe for a little bit.
Sure.
What was your?
Well, you left. Well, hold on one second, Chris. You talked to me about boobies. So now it's time to talk to Trevor. I got it now.
No, Joe. We talked about what you do.
Oh, okay.
No, I'm not done with you yet.
Okay, you're coming back.
Yeah, hang in there. Hey, we got more to talk about than just Hooter stuff. Yeah. So, Trevor, what's your role with Inbox 360?
I'm a developer here.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what?
It's a multi job.
Okay.
You
wear many hats then. What does the average day look like for you?
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Ooh, this
Thanks,
one. I...
Chris.
Yeah, really. Yeah.
Oh wait, are we gonna get Joe in trouble here? We're not gonna get him fired, are we?
No, not at all.
As Joe's been saying lately, we have a lot of things in the development house.
Okay.
Trying to explore a lot of new technologies, but daily's just systems, network, development. Really, just all around business requirements.
And then Joe walks in and says, "Can we do this?"
Yeah.
Then I run out.
And then it goes another direction. But you know what? Honestly, Joe, I think the same way. I'm always thinking about where I want to be. You know, 5 days from now, and not realizing that there are other things that are happening. So it seems like Trevor can take Joe's ideas and turn them into gold. It seems.
It seems to be, and it isn't just Trevor. I've got a lot of other, two other developers here, and these guys are, they just put it on a list, and they tell me what we can do and can't do and prioritize. And then my partner Harry Wall walks into the room and says, "Joe, would you just settle down, please?"
So wait, are you guys? How big is the company right now?
Actually, we have about 12 employees.
Okay.
But we're poised. We're just right now launching a nationwide sales program.
Mm.
Starting on Monday, we have 3 people starting in the sales side. We just hired a VP of sales. We're opening up the Raleigh-Durham market. We're hoping to get into the top 50 markets nationwide. So we're just ready to kick it off, and then we're also looking to do the virtual thing. Hoping that hosting companies and webmasters and everybody understand the value of offering a product like this that will hopefully make their life easier. Because it's nothing worse than the salon down the street trying to harvest 500 names and sending those names out and then getting themselves blocked.
So have you used the word or the term the long tail in any of your pitches?
No. Can you explain that to me?
So you've never heard of it?
No.
Okay, that's a good thing, because you don't want to use the term is overused. And the idea is a concept, and you could actually, search for it on your favorite search engine. Look for the long tail.
Okay.
And the idea is instead of going after some of the bigger companies and the bigger fish, you're finding, more of the money in the market as the tail kind of trails off. In the smaller businesses and the smaller companies, there are going to be a lot more of those out there than the bigger companies.
Yeah, it fragments your risk and it diversifies risk and so on. Yeah, no, that was our business model with the other company, and I like to say that I thought I was smart enough that that's what I tried to do this time, but it's the only thing I know, so I can't claim that I'm smart.
But your background is in marketing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I can tell. Marketers, we usually think that way.
Yeah.
So in terms of what we see, and I'm assuming it's at inbox360.com.
Right.
Are we going to be able to go there and sign up for an account or at least find a rep to see if our needs can be met with your services?
Both, yes. Okay. You can sign up right there. And how it works is somebody will be contacting you immediately. So every one of our merchants gets a what we call a campaign manager.
Okay.
That manages their account, so they get, and they'll be talking to the same person every month. They're going to get to know their account and that kind of stuff. So you can sign up right there on the site. You can call in. You can talk to a rep. The difference between us and every other email company that's out there right now is we really like to do a lot of service. We don't think that anybody should be left alone, especially in today's environment. in the email world.
Now, Joe, you sound like a pretty passionate user. You know, you really do. And you've drunk the Kool-Aid. You get it. Are you also the one who's blogging?
Am I also the one? Actually, to answer that question directly, no, but I will be.
Oh, okay, good.
Yes, I will be. I've got some people very close in this industry right now that are pushing me very hard to get that to happen, and it's I think it's something I should be doing for sure.
And I can hammer that point home. You're in how you speak about the company, and your candor is very direct, very honest, very genuine, and that translates well even on the web. That passion that comes across, and especially if you're active in the blogosphere, so to speak. You're going to find that it opens up many, many more doors, and people are going to see your company as being different than the other email company who's still stuck in the days of just email and hasn't really thought about what's going to happen next when, you know, spam becomes so overwhelming that no one even wants to check it anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I appreciate you saying that because, you know, what you see is what you get with me. I really don't have another side. My partner sometimes would probably say, "I wish you were a little different sometimes." But that's part of it. That's the passion, you know.
You can tell in your voice.
Well, thank you.
No, it's a good thing. I can tell because I can tell when you're laughing, and it's a genuine laugh. It's not like an uncomfortable, "Oh my God, he just said boobies" kind of laugh. and some people do. Now Trevor's probably just giggling like a little schoolgirl in the background. Are you in the same room right now, or Trevor?
No, he's on the other side of the office.
Oh, so you're stuck in the server room where it's nice and cool?
Pretty much.
So are all your web servers based at that location, or is it elsewhere?
No, they're not, actually. They're not far. They're in PA, a few hours away. But we don't house them right here.
We're there at a colo in Philadelphia.
Okay. Now, Trevor, maybe you could answer this question a little better than Joe. How strong is the technology community in your area?
In our area,
yeah,
I wouldn't say it's weak, but it's certainly not very strong.
Okay,
probably we're probably going to be, you know, one of the top dogs in the area.
I got the smartest guys in Williamsport, and I'll guarantee you that because if I took them, well, maybe I took them from the bank the one time and the bank closed. So,
ooh,
these guys are smart. They really are, and they love the environment because we're entrepreneurs.
And you've got a small team, 12 people. You're going to be adding salespeople. Are you looking to expand in any other ways? Looking to hire any other positions at this point?
Oh yeah. Our business model is we want to go nationwide now because we got a very, very robust back end thanks to these guys. And we want to go nationwide and to support a nationwide sales effort. I want to have a centralized production outfit here in Williamsport. And this is, once again, it draws on my past experience. Our old company had about 100 people doing video or doing television commercials 24/7 out of Williamsport to support our sales effort. So the same thing is what we're going to be doing here. We're going to be hiring a boatload of artists to be doing the production, campaign managers, and so on. So we're excited about, you know, because there's not that many of those types of jobs in Williamsport, PA, but we have a great resource because we have, like, Penn State is not even 45 minutes away, so they're graduating classes. Just a lot of bright people.
Is that where you graduated from, Joe?
No. I graduated School of Hard Knocks.
Oh, okay.
I
But you know what? It speaks very true to, you know, having a vision and seeing it through. You don't really need a degree for that.
Well, I thank you for that. It's just I think I'm just sometimes too pigheaded and whatever to hear anything else. But it keeps you directed. You're right.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. I've met a lot of people, internet entrepreneurs, serial entrepreneurs, who, you know, have. I mean, hey, Bill Gates. You know, he never made it all the way through. And certainly, look at him. You know, God, he could have done so much better for himself. I'm sure. It's having a background isn't necessary anymore. It's really what you're doing with your ideas that makes all the difference in the world. And it seems
like I was very fortunate to be around the right people too, and that really helps.
You think
you get in a room with the people that are saying the right things or the right direction, and also teaches you how not to hear no all the time, and that's important. I mean, you know, just go for it.
You mean like in terms of the sales process?
Yeah, process. You're diving into RSS is a perfect example.
Yeah.
I talked to a couple people that just really inspired me.
How the hell? Okay, seriously, how did you get caught onto RSS? Were you the first in the company, Joe, or was it Trevor?
Well, no, a friend of a friend of a friend somehow said, you got to take a look at this. And I'm going, oh, yeah, since I didn't think of it, I didn't want to hear about it. Right? So finally I started looking, and I said, wait a minute, you mean it does this? It does this? Okay. and exactly, and I said, why? It's just so logical. Why aren't other people doing it? And I know they are. Everybody's doing it. But the thing of it is, not everybody, but there's a lot of people doing it. But the entrepreneur side showed me, said, wait a minute, now to apply it to the real world, to what we're doing, which is marketing, you got to have the entire package. So let's take everything we see out there and all the opportunities that are out there and the technology, which is in rocket science, and put it all together in one package and sell it. And that's how it evolved.
Do you use RSS?
Do like, I?
Yeah, on a personal yes. level?
Yeah, on a personal level I do, only because I'm forced to do it now. I mean, I can't be any more honest than that. I got on it and looked in and I said, this is too cool, but my days are so crazy anymore that it's, you know, I see it coming in, I see the feeds, I pick my feeds, and I love it. I love the concept, but I'm so absorbed in getting us to do it that, you know, it's not like it's something I do every day.
Do you show your companies how they can track their brand using RSS, or is that kind of beyond the realm of what you're trying to accomplish with the company?
No, in all honesty, it's not. The thing that I've learned a while back is the power of what we do that sets us apart from all the advertising medium to date was the analytics. Okay? Now, the analytics in the right hands really, really help. Once again, you don't overwhelm them, but knowing how, you know, us putting the hooks, if you will, out there within our system to allow people to, when we can speak English to them and show them how the branding, how it will help them in branding, how this is just going to totally put them on top just by having their own private labeled reader, you know, everything, all that stuff packaged together is very important. I believe that. But it's just going to take a little time to get it so it's in a palatable dose.
Now, Trevor, how do you take what Joe comes up with and turn it into geek?
He's laughing.
Yeah, that is a good question. Usually Joe has a, you know, he has a general understanding of what he needs done. And, you know, not tech, but that's my job. You know, I just interpret into tech, you know, what's doable, we do. And what's not, you know, sometimes I just have to let him know it's not. It just doesn't work that way, you know.
So you're not afraid to say no?
Usually no. No, I'm not.
Now,
you know, sometimes, you know, if you're not extremely familiar with tech, you would think, you know, anything under the sun would be possible. And always that's not the case. But, you know, usually we get it done.
Yeah, and I've also learned, too, to be fair, you know, that, you know, I learned enough over the last few years that, wait a minute, that it really might be a really stupid thing to ask.
Very true.
So it's getting better.
It's predictive.
Oh, by no means is it bad. By no means is it bad.
Now, what about you then, Trevor? Do you follow RSS? Do you follow this whole thing, or are you just kind of more of a geek because it pays the bills?
Well, I use RSS. As far as following, you know, there's not I haven't really, you know, there's not too much. I don't know if there is too much to follow, but usage, I definitely do use. And you know, the development we're doing here is pretty good stuff, as far as like. You know, we're getting into RSS personalization, you know, personalizing the articles. You know, if your clients are tracking of the clicks, the article opens, you know, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's very cool. Trevor came up with that. He actually designed our publisher. And he said, you know, Joe, you know, we can actually use the same reporting functions that we've got on email with our publisher. And I said, that's great.
Yeah, it's pretty good stuff, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty interesting. So, like Joe was saying, when we'd send out an email, there would be you know, like a little RSS button. When you'd click that, you'd get our reader, but also as well, obviously, since you are an email subscriber of ours, or our clients rather, we know who you are. So in turn, obviously, we can track you.
That begs the question, and I don't mean to interrupt, but you said something that might be construed as a little scary for someone. When you say, we know who you are, we know where you live, how does privacy work with Inbox 360? I mean, is this something that, you know, I'm really, you know, have to be concerned when I open, you know, a message that, that,
oh,
that
no,
comes from your service?
Absolutely not, absolutely not. Mm. Obviously, you know, emails are tracked.
Yeah.
You know, when you, when you're an email marketing company, you, you track opens, you track link clicks.
Mm-hmm.
And really, that's almost as far as it goes. There's no, there's not much IP tracking. You know, we don't gather tons of information about you.
No, we're just trying to do the marketing analytics, which is how many people opened. We can tell who opened it.
Yeah.
Okay. If we want to do, if we want to run a query, let's say if Harley Davidson or a motorcycle shop sent out an email. And we wanted to find out the 30 or 40% of the people that opened them and follow them up with a secondary email and call them the VIP club. So we do that kind of querying, and that's about it.
And it's good that you said this right up front, permission-based, meaning you have a, like a confirmed opt-in process right up
exactly.
front.
Exactly, exactly.
That's very responsible.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sorry. But if we get a new client, that's the first thing we put them through is we want to know where they got their list, mm-hmm. how they're listed, and we'll send out what we call a cleansing letter,
oh.
and we'll get them to re-opt back in.
That's kind of scary for some publishers who've built a list. You know, to say to them that you're going to run them through that process. How do they usually take that?
Well, the big ones usually what we might do is have it so they don't have to do take affirmative action. And just say if they don't respond, you know, we consider them, they still like to get the list. But mm-hmm. that all depends on how they originally got the list.
Okay.
We've cleaned up lists big time in a very short period of time, and that's part of our job. So, you know, it's very important to us. We do not, I'd rather turn a client down because it's suspect than ruin our reputation.
No, that's a very smart approach, and I think that it shows that you're in it for the long haul. You've got some amount of longevity. I mean, to take that approach, so you're not lumped in with, you know, you're right. You get one bad client, and pretty soon you're on blacklists, and once you're there, it's almost impossible to get off of them.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible, and we knew that from years ago, and we've actually, Trevor wrote a program that, you know, we seed every one of our lists. With email addresses to make sure that everything is on the up and up as far as delivery and things like that. So we've got a pretty robust system that just keeps us where we're supposed to be.
It's very smart. Now, do you have a CMS that's attached to this, or is it largely just for publishing like a newsletter and feed for simple marketing, one-off marketing messages like one a day, one a week, or whatever it happens to be? Or is there full-fledged content management behind it?
No, we don't do the content management as far as us serving up content from our research team or anything like that. Mm-hmm. We typically, our clients might do one, maybe two emails a month, you know, very benign in, as far as being aggressive and so on. That's just not what we do. Now, the drug company we work with, those guys have a very, very aggressive schedule, if you will. But they also have a very elaborate system on handling any kind of bounces and objections and things like that. So, you know, their open rates are higher than the national average and so on. So, you know, there's a lot of thought going. One size doesn't fit all. So we have to be careful, make sure that, you know, we understand the whole, you know, the whole methodology, if you will, behind the account.
And plus you guys get as many cheeseburgers as you can eat.
Well, and I'll guarantee you this: I have never seen the color of any one of those girls' eyes.
Because the burgers are so good.
The burgers are so good. you know the juice squirts up in my eyes. I don't get it.
And hey, don't get me wrong; those wings are pretty fantastic too.
Yes, and their wings are good.
Yes, the wings are very, very good.
Yep, and you have never seen a breast being served either. Just the wings.
You know, Joe, I'm going to end it right there because I'm just going to – that's the perfect note to end this interview with. Thank you guys for taking your time. You know, I know you're – I can only imagine how busy you guys are.
Well, we've been great, and it's been great with us, and I really appreciate the opportunity to talk with you guys.
Well, it's no problem. I've been doing this for a while, and it's nice to find contemporaries out there who are doing the same thing. So.
Well, thank you.
All right. Well, take care. We'll see you digitally, online.
I hope so.
And maybe at some point in the future you guys do anything exciting, just let me know.
Okay.
I'm easy to get a hold of, really. I mean, people, you have to try to not find me not find me. So, anyway.
I see that.
Thanks again, guys.
All right, Chris.
We appreciate the time.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye. Yes, Jake, you were going to remark?
Somehow it has completely slipped past my radar that Creative has a new, like...
X-Fi.
No. I don't care about their audio thing. I'm talking about a portable video screen. Like, portable media center type device.
Yeah.
640 by 480 resolution. 30 gig hard drive.
Yeah.
And $399.
Yeah, but is it like a PSP?
It isn't a PSP, but for 640 by 480 video, that means I don't have to transcode my video 500 times to be able to get it to play like
a
lot of different screens.
You know, I flashed to the 2.0 firmware for the PSP, and I am just, I love it. The web browser, if you should take a look at it. It's really, really slick. I'm very impressed with the quality of the browser. You know, the first, you know, rendition of the browser.
I still think that the whole, like, portable video concept needs to be a gaming platform to sell it.
Yeah.
There's no denying that, especially at a high price point. But 640 by 480 and a handheld device for...
$399?
For $399 isn't bad.
It's not too bad. We had a couple of callers try to call in. Let's see if we can surprise them here by giving them a call back. Let's see here. We're going to try calling Dave.
Dave's not here.
Dave?
Dave's not here, man.
We're totally going to throw him off here. Especially if he's listening live. Oh, maybe we're going to get his voicemail.
Dave isn't here.
Boy, he's going to be kicking himself in the butt. All right, we're going to end call there. We'll flip over to, let's see here, who else tried to call in? Hang on. Mark. We'll try calling Mark here.
Yo.
Yes, this is a subscription service. Would you like to buy a subscription to our magazine? It's a really nice magazine, and it's got a lot of pictures in it and a little bit of text. Would you like to buy it?
I'm totally throwing you off, dude. Oh, apparently I threw you way off. You can't even speak.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So, we are still taking calls. We were just doing an interview, and so I'm calling you back now. Did you have a question, or you just want to play along?
I guess just play along and maybe inform someone some of your listeners out there of just a really cool website that you turned me on to about a year ago.
Which one is that?
Clusty, but But Clusty Blogs is—that's how I found out what was going on tonight with the Gizmo Skype,
what
Google Talk.
Wait a minute! Wait! Someone's already posted it over at Clusty Blogs, or
no. Okay, so blogs.clusty.com It searches all of the major blog tools or search engines: Feedster, Ice Rocket, Technorati,
sure,
Blogdigger, Blogpulse. But I think not a whole lot of people know about it. But
yeah.
I've always been searching with, like if I want your name, I'll do like Chris Perillo.
Yeah.
But I found that it didn't get results I wanted. So I've been using tag equals, and then for example, like I did a half hour ago, tag equals Chris Perillo, and your most recent post on your blog was on there.
Oh, okay.
And that came from a query from Feedster.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to take a look at this.
Yeah.
Someone's trying to call me on Skype here. I'll have to call him right back. I'm sorry. I'm on the line with you now, Mark. So you have the floor. I'll take a look at this. There's actually, I want to show you something else that I've been working on, too, that kind of falls into the same picture. And if you like Clusty, you might look like what I've been kind of scrapping together, too.
Cool.
Yeah. Just IM me to remind me, though, because I've got a billion and one things that are going on at this point in time. It's kind of a full plate.
I bet.
Clusty, clusty.com.
Yeah, I actually don't think the blog search even appears on the front page, but blogs.clusty.com.
All right. Well, check it out.
So that rules.
All right. Well, thank you, Mark.
Right on.
Appreciate it.
The Windows Media stream for the live broadcast of The Chris Perillo Show is provided by Limelight Networks. Listen to the live Chris Perillo Show in Windows Media Player. Download the latest version of the player for Mac and Windows users at Microsoft.com/Windows Media.